Hi, and welcome to Parent Talk hashtag with Bev. A black British mom of West Indian descent with two young adults now living in London. Well, we've always lived in London, in the UK. Not an expert of any kind. I'm just sharing my thoughts, opinions, experiences around parenting and life in the hope that it helps another parent or someone somewhere. So remember, you can subscribe, like, and share and follow my podcast. I'm on most platforms, including Spotify, Google, Apple Podcast, Amazon Music and Audible, Deezer, Boomplay, Player FM, and iHeart for my US listeners. So the hashtag means we discuss or reflect on anything relating to parenting. And this time, I'm just sharing some thoughts with you. No guests, just moi. So do your thing as you listen, whatever suits you best. Today, as I say, there's no interviews. It's just me reflecting on a conversation that I had with another parent, which has pricked my mind, and I just wanted to come and share with you. So the title of this is meant to say something like, Google is my friend, but it's around abandonment issues and how abandonment issues can really play out in our lives. In my last podcast, Men Hurt Too, Elliot, he was sharing about how his father, one of the things he shared anyway, was about how his father had abandoned him somewhere in Florida. Yep, you heard me right. His father took him out in a car and then stopped somewhere, kicked him out, and then drove off. And I think this happened, he said, when he was about 13. He was young, and he's now 37. And that experience impacted him so much that he can't go on a plane to even visit Florida. Now, that might seem a little extreme to you listening, but the truth is, there were times, right, when my kids were younger that I entertained the thought of leaving their ass somewhere, especially when I've talk till I can't talk no more, and I was frustrated and angry, and I just wanted to, I thought about, let me just drive off and leave them. And I'm being honest, yeah. I remember times when I've actually just walked off saying, I'm leaving now, just to get the point across to them that it's time to go or we finished this conversation. So when I was actually listening to the parent I was having a conversation with, I realized, right, that we all have abandonment issues. They just play out differently in our lives, in all of our lives, right? But rather than me assuming, right, I decided that I'd go and seek advice from a friend. Google is my friend. And so when I Googled the term abandonment, they came up with various things. And one of the definitions, well, look, I got to warn you, right, that this led me down a rabbit hole. And I see no reason not to take you all down this rabbit hole with me. So here we go. So Google is my friend. And one of the first definitions it came up with for the word abandonment was the act, action, or fact of abandoning or being abandoned. And they say, like, she had a feeling of utter abandonment and loneliness. I kept reading that because that made little sense to me. So a further definition that they gave of abandonment is, like it said, it's a noun, an act or instance of leaving a person or thing permanently and completely. So, example, he struggles to deal with his abandonment by his wife and now having to care for their infant alone. and I'm saying it in that kind of voice, but just to differentiate, right, what I'm actually saying, so it don't become too boring, not really taking the mick out of anybody, right? Now, that spoke to me, or can I say that triggered me? And if that don't speak to some of you listening, we got to be lying. An act or instance of leaving a person or thing permanently and completely. The word abandon gives an extra sense of forsake or desert, as in the sentence, he abandoned his children, in the sense of he deserted his children. On the other hand, the word leave gives the sense of depart without taking. As it, you'd put that in a sentence, like he left his glove in his home. Now, they were using the word he, but I know some she's who have done the same thing, desert, abandon their children or partners. That includes leaving them back home while you go off to seek a new life in another country, and then bring them to that country or town many years later when you've begun to establish yourself with a regular job or a place to live. You see, I was born in the UK, but I know so many who were left back home. Now, my parents come from the West Indies, and while they travelled on the Windrush, they came over during that period they love to call Windrush now, where they came over on boats seeking opportunities of work in the England, as far as they were concerned. Jamaica's part of England, they were part of the Commonwealth, and so they would be here and they'd be able to find work, be able to send money home, and then eventually make enough money to leave this country and go back home. That's what, if you'd speak to our elders, a lot of them said we intended to be here no more than a few years and then go back. But the reality is that for some of them, they had families and wives and husbands back home. So whenever I say back home, I'm talking about back home Jamaica. But wherever back home is for you, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying, right? But you know, they've come and they're trying to make a living here. And so they've left their children back home with the intentions, I say, of going back. But for my mum, it was like 40 years later. They wanted to establish themselves, take time and send for their wives and children. Well, when they got here, they found it was hard. So it's harder still for a child to be left behind and feeling that they were not remembered. You know, that relatives, often grandparents, were the ones looking after them. Can you imagine what those children's thoughts might have been? I mean, forgotten, abandoned, deserted, feelings that they eventually buried and replaced with stories that they filled in their own heads trying to cope. I mean, truthfully, if you talk to my older step siblings, they will tell you their story. As the child born here, all I felt was their resentment towards me. And that is definitely another podcast story and possible interview with someone who's willing to share their own story and voice. Me, na gode. Let's get back on track. Now, this could have happened, this feeling of being abandoned could have happened to us a long time ago, or it could be a feeling that we get from an incident that leaves us with the kind of feelings of being abandoned or deserted. Now, I know I felt abandoned when my real father had nothing to do with me for over 10 years. I felt that way again when we reconnected and he just gave me money to go shopping, but didn't spend any real time with me, like really getting to know me through spending time and having long talks with me. I remember times where I felt abandoned by my mum when she sent me to childminder after childminder while she went to work. She went to work to provide for me, but I was too young to know at the time. I have felt abandoned when people stopped talking to me because of a fight I had when I was at school in my sixth form. Yeah, long story. And we ain't got time for that. But I also felt abandoned when something's gone wrong. So for example, at one workplace I worked at, and people kept their distance because they didn't want to get some of what I was getting dished out by my line manager. I have felt abandoned when prior to meetings, everyone has something to say. But when you go into the meeting, nobody say anything except me. I said it thinking they would back me up, but they were quiet or they averted their gaze and didn't want to associate themselves with me in that space. However, after we came out of the meeting, they got something to say. But who was left looking like the troublemaker or instigator by senior management? Me. Some people may die, or they might take their own life. And that can leave a feeling of abandonment. I hear some of you exhaling because you all can identify with what I've just been talking about. In those examples, somewhere we've all experienced either all of those or some of those. But moving on, how do we actually feel? What are those emotions? What are those emotions? Well, Google is my friend and said the following. Abandonment is a feeling of disconnectness, rejection, and neediness. They say the aftermath of this type of trauma generates a looming fear of not only losing connection with the people you love, but being forced to fend for yourself. Fend for yourself? Well, that's all of us then, really, isn't it? From being a so-called latchkey kid, meaning I had the keys to go home from school and let myself in to take care of myself because my mother was at work. That was way back when. And I know that I did the same to my kids. And I believe the practice still goes on today because we can only pay so much for childcare. You better believe that. So what else does my friend, in inverted commas, say? Well, abandonment fears can impair a person's ability to trust others. Ooh. They may make it harder for a person to feel worthy, or to be intimate. These fears could make a person prone to anxiety, depression, codependency, or other issues. Oh dear, the rabbit hole just felt a little tighter. So what did my friend say? What common signs might look like then. So my friend, in inverted commas, said common signs of abandonment issues include giving too much or being overly eager to please, jealousy in your relationships or of others, trouble trusting your partner's intentions. Alrighty then, I've been there, I've done that. Have you? If you hear any growling, it's because this microphone that someone's bought me is picking up every god and earthly thing. So, excuse me. But anyway, yeah. Giving too much. Or being overly eager to please. But what does it really look like? So, for example, Google, my friend said, not openly expressing your emotions and assuming your loved ones should just know what you feel or need. Dismissing genuine attempts to connect by pushing the person away or criticizing them. Having a hard time understanding relationship boundaries. Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, this is getting deeper. So what is abandonment trauma? I'm still carrying on because anyhow I stop and start talking about various things, right? We're going to be here forever. And I just want to get through a little piece of this podcast. So what is abandonment trauma? Well, according to my friend, in inverted commas, it's a fear of being left behind or abandoned. It's the inability to form healthy relationships in the teenage or adult years, low self-esteem and feeling of self-worth, anxiety and insecurity. Boy, this rabbit hole is getting narrower and narrower. I don't know about you, but I don't know if I can fit in this rabbit hole anymore. I'm triggered. But pushing on, what are the triggers? So they're saying that abandonment issues can happen at any time. It might be triggered by grief from losing a loved one, a romantic relationship, or even a job. Boy, I've experienced all of that. All of that. And if we listen to my Google friend, it seems a lot of us could be in the same boat then. We are all triggered. So then they list some fears, like fear of revealing one's true feelings, especially what they feel deeply, troubleshooting one's needs. Oh no, trouble showcasing one's needs. Boy, I can identify with that. Feelings of uneasiness or having a hard time expressing fundamental emotional truths about oneself. And a fear of showcasing feelings of concern for their distressed partner. I'm just leaving these to sit right here because I'm reading and it's hitting. And I'm having my flashbacks about things. I don't know about you guys who are listening, yeah? But if I'm on, if I'm feeling honest, and I normally am, I know that every single word I'm saying is licking somebody somehow, somewhere. No matter what our culture, no matter what our beliefs, we're all can identify with what I'm saying here. So then, you know, the rest of the stuff I looked at was looking at what the lack of intimacy looks like for women and what it looks like for men. So just because I'm trying to be balanced, I'm going to say them both, right? So what lack of intimacy looks like for a woman, it says, while sex is not the most defining factor in a relationship, happiness, sex, and intimacy missing in your marriage can lead to serious relationship issues like anger, infidelity, communication breakdown, lack of self-esteem, and isolation, all of which can ultimately lead to irreparable damage to the relationship ending. So what does intimacy look like to a man? And they say, intimacy is a closeness between people in personal relationships. It's what builds over time as you connect with someone, grow to care about each other, and feel more and more comfortable during your time together. It can include physical or emotional closeness, or even a mix of the two. I think these definitions are missing something, especially for the mandem. My assumption, and this is my assumption, is that intimacy for some men just means sex. That's it. and you can chuckle, you can cuss, you can shout at me. I can't hear you, right? But I'm really checking. Nowadays, some of the things I'm seeing on social media and the way they're portraying, you know, men, women and young men and young women, not all, don't get me wrong, not all, but it's like the more social media that seeps through into my house, it's very much like everything's around sex. If you want to be intimate, you need to sleep with somebody. What happened to talk? What happened to hold hand? What happened to share? I'm older now and I've been through a lot of stuff. So I'm a little bit reflectful, right? And I remember during the last 9 years of the things that I've been had gone through, I remember a book that I'd read. It was Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, not Venus. Hey, Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. And it's a book written by an American author and relationship counselor, John Gray. He's done meditation and psychology. And I think I remember the book helped me to understand how I was communicating with my then partner and gave some sort of practical tips of how, you know, I can understand and how I can probably change some of the ways in which I was talking, to try and, you know, gain some more levels of intimacy that weren't based around just the physical. And another book I remember reading, I found that book useful. So, you know, Google it, because Google is your friend. Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. I'm just sharing because it helped me think differently. And another book that I think helped me as well was Steve Harvey. He'd written a book, was it Act Like a Lady, Think Like a Man, or Think Like a Man, Act Like a Lady, something so. And it gave me some sort of understanding from a male perspective. And, you know, he had some suggestions of actions we could take to tackle certain things, and especially some that I was facing at the time. And I'm not really going to share that with you right now, because everyone's got their own, you know, you read something, you hear something, you have your own message in it. So I think for me, some of the bigger questions really around this whole issue is of abandonment, is how does this all play out in our lives? How does it play out in our relationship with friends, partners, children? How we rear our kids, how we accept being treated by others, whether they're work colleagues or bosses, or even the business that we choose to do. You know, how does abandonment, those emotions, those feelings, how do they impact us? And especially as a parent, you know, when I've been trying to rear my kids, you know, if I've not kind of worked through some of my own issues, isn't it normal that I'm just going to end up sort of repeating the things that I don't want? I want to do something different, but I don't know how to do something different. And I can't be asked to learn how to do something different. I'm scared to learn something different. I'm frightened of, you know, taking a step because I might upset other family members. I might upset my partner. I mean, how do we change anything if we don't become brave? You know, over the course of my life, right? And I'm a whole woman, right? And specifically over the last 9 years or so, I've been working on dealing with some of the issues. And I can see how whilst I never really felt abandoned by my mother, right? That there were incidences in my life that created abandonment issues for me that played out in some of my formative years and early adulthood. And I know that I've been working on them. How? Well, therapy helps. I'll share just a couple because I don't want to go too deep, but therapy has helped. And I know that for some of us listening, our cultures that we belong to have a stigma around anything to do with, you know, that you might be anxious or depressed and that you might want a counselor or therapy, and because they see that as something's wrong with you, you know, you got mental health issues. Hello? We've all got mental health issues, even the ones who don't want you to go and get therapy. But, you know, you do what suits you. For me, living in a goldfish bowl didn't help, and I needed help to get out of that goldfish bowl. The other thing that's helped me has been prayer, my faith in God. When everything else has deserted me, when everything else felt like it had broken down, the only thing that has really anchored me has been my faith in God. So prayer, you know, some people, they want to write journals. You know, some people pray, some people meditate. I mean, whatever works for you, I'm just telling you what I've done. I've learned the difficult lesson of surrendering to God and learning to go with the flow. And it ain't easy. You know what I mean? It's a work in progress, and it's every day. I've also heard criticism and sometimes been my own worst critic. But now, if your criticism isn't constructively given, I will ignore it. Or I'll go away and reflect on it. But if it's not constructive, keep it to yourself. I'm just saying. Weeping helps. I didn't say crying. I said weeping. If truth be told, bawling, wailing, crying till your chest hurt. Getting rid of negative people and things and their drama, because I've got enough of my own to deal with. I apologize where needed. You know, sometimes that's a hard pill to swallow, but it gets easier. Because if you're wrong, you're wrong. Learning to see what love looks like by learning to give myself the love I've been looking for has been something that's helped enormously. By saying no to even the shiny things that look good on the surface, but then when I've dug a little bit deeper, I find out that the shine is not gall, but rather just what you call it, beaker file or foil, sorry, that's used to put proper terms. You know, sometimes you hope something like that changes into a magic penny, but I've learned if it wasn't a magic penny in the beginning, it's not going to be a magic penny now. Sometimes this walking away has looked nice, and other times it's been completely a mess, been a complete mess. I think I've become more choosy about those who are in my inner circle of friends, although I have enough friends. But you know, I'm always reminded that some friends are for a season and or for a reason. Just depends whether or not you're willing to learn. You know, when I was younger, my mum used to say, too much friend is not good friend. But I never understood what she was actually trying to say. I understand a little bit more now. But there are layers to that onion. Levels of friends are just deeper than others. I definitely see that I have the pleasing gene. Like most women, we're taught to do that. But balance is needed. Because if I'm not... If I'm to become balanced, then I've got to become balanced mentally. Become balanced mentally. Why? What does that look like? You know, the COVID pandemic also gave me an opportunity to reset some buttons, as I'm sure that it's done for you. There are those we may have lost because fear can make some of us hide in spaces where we feel more safe. Conflict has always been hard for me because I fight that desire to please others over my own needs. The struggle's real. What can I say? I'm still a work in progress, just like you. Having children is the biggest wake-up call to heal yourself, if you ask me. When I thought of having children, it was so that I could do things different from how my parents had done things to me. It was also a reason to give love. But no one warned me of the price I'd have to pay. Not just the money we spend, right, on our kids, but the emotional work that you find yourself having to do. The so-called demons, in inverted commas, that we think we have laid to rest because we're older, just come back to haunt the hell out of us. And we can either choose to live in that dimension or seek help to clear up some of that muddy, muddy water. I say all this and I miss out so much more because we're all still learning. After following me down this rabbit hole, I will say one thing. Get help and support to help you manage whatever issues, emotions, or feelings that some of the stuff I've been talking about might have brought up for you. Don't beat yourself up. It's a daily thing, living with myself anyway, and learning to share and work through these issues that I have. And some things cannot and should not be done on our own. We are all a work in progress, and let's not forget that. What we learn about ourselves, and what I've learned about myself, hopefully I've been able to share with my children. I've been able to help shape and support them, teach and inspire them to be the best versions of themselves. So I'm not saying none of you ain't done that. And I know that sentence is not proper English, but what? I think we share because we want to, we share because we want to change the shape of the future. And in doing that and inspire our kids, it's going to demand from us that we are braver than we think we are, and that we might need support to be braver still. Anyway, remember to like, share, follow. As I said earlier on at the very beginning of all of this, I'm on most platforms, including Spotify, Google, Apple Podcast, and so many more. If anybody's interested in being a guest to share their voice and experience in the hope that it helps someone else somewhere, another parent or someone, then you can contact me on my business email, which is parenttalkwithbev, all one word, @gmail.com. And I am on Instagram as Bev Parent Talk, although,